Good afternoon. My name is Paul Harris, and I am president of the City Club of Cleveland's Board of Directors. I am pleased to welcome you to the City Club debate, brought to you in partnership with the Ohio Newspaper Organization and IdeaStream. Today's debate is being broadcast live on WVIZ-TV and 90.3 WCPN and made available statewide. We welcome viewers from across Ohio. Karen Kassler is the Bureau Chief of Ohio Public Radio and Television State House News Bureau and moderator for today's debate. Karen?
Thanks very much, Paul. And on behalf of the debate organizers, I would like to welcome both candidates, Lee Fisher and Rob Portman. Now, the rules for this debate are pretty straightforward. After opening remarks, a panel of journalists, who you'll meet in a minute, will ask questions. The candidates will be given 2 minutes to respond to the question. The other candidate will then have 1 minute for rebuttal. Audience members were invited to write down a question they would like me to ask, and I've chosen several and will read them as time permits. And one request of our audience members who are here today, please refrain from making any loud comments or reactions and kindly hold your applause until the end of the debate. So we begin now with opening remarks. Each candidate has 2 minutes here. A coin toss earlier today determined the order, and Mr. Fisher, you are first.
I want to thank the City Club and all of you being here today, and you'll probably notice already that I have lost my voice. But it's nothing compared to the people that I've met throughout this state whose voices can't be heard and have been muted by this national recession. A man in Wilmington went up to me one day and said, you know, it reminds me of that movie, Howard Beale. Remember, it was called Network? He said, I feel like that guy who said everyone's out of work, shops are closing down, I'm afraid that I can't keep my job. And Howard Beale said to him, you need to be mad. You're a human being, goddammit. You have value. So I want you to get up and walk over to that window. Put your head out that window and yell as loud as you can, I'm mad as hell, and I won't take it anymore. Too many of us who consider ourselves progressive or moderate or reasonable or fair-minded are too nice. We're too polite, and we're far too calm in the middle of the deepest economic recession in most of our lives. People all around the state are mad. Let me tell you why they're mad. They're mad as hell that we're giving tax breaks to large companies to send jobs overseas, but not giving tax breaks to companies to put their jobs right here. They're mad that we're giving tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires, but the same people are refusing to extend unemployment benefits for millions of Americans. And they're mad that we're bailing out the Wall Street banks,
Mr. Fisher,
but shortchanging small businesses.
Time. Thank you, Mr. Fisher. And now, Mr. Portman, your opening remarks.
Karen, thank you very much, and it's great to be back at the City Club again, and I appreciate the opportunity you've given us to talk directly to Ohio voters about two very different approaches and visions for our state and for our country. You just heard from Lieutenant Governor Fisher. You've heard his talks about anger, and this has been a campaign where he's had a lot of partisan attacks that he has used. Look, I have a very different vision. My vision is about how to bring people together to solve problems and how to turn things around in Washington to help Ohio. I've listened to people over Ohio over this campaign, been in all 88 counties, and what I've learned at factory visits, over 70 of them, meetings with workers, unemployed workers, small business owners, economic development experts, some of whom are in this room today, it won't surprise most of you who are watching or here today, which is that Ohio's falling behind. 400,000 jobs have been lost in the last 4 years. Our unemployment has nearly doubled. We lost jobs last month in the state of Ohio. We're losing businesses to other states. Some of the best and brightest young people in Ohio are leaving our state. During this time, my opponent's been both the Lieutenant Governor of Ohio and the Director of the Department of Development, responsible for job creation. Again, you just heard from him. The Cleveland Plain Dealer, a week ago, endorsed my candidacy. I'm proud of that. When they did so, they said that Lieutenant Governor Fisher has been sticking to the party line, clinging to the party line, they said. That's not what Ohio needs. What Ohio needs is someone to bring people together to solve these tough problems. We need to focus on the issues that matter to Ohioans. Tonight, or today during this debate, you'll probably hear some more attacks. And maybe it's because he doesn't want to talk about that record, maybe because he doesn't want to talk about the policies that he does support coming out of Washington, like the health care legislation or the stimulus package, which haven't been helpful to creating Ohio jobs. I believe there's a better way
on
health care, on spending, on taxes, on energy to help bring Ohio jobs back. Look forward to talking about that today.
Time. Thanks. Now, before we get into the question and answer segment, let's meet our reporter panelists, starting from my left, Bill Hershey from the Dayton Daily News, Steve Hoffman from the Akron Beacon Journal, and Joe Froelich from the Plain Dealer here in Cleveland. Bill Hershey, we start with you, and your first question is to Mr. Fisher.
Thank you. Mr. Fisher, when the U.S. Senate campaign started, you either were ahead or running even with Congressman Portman in public polls. Now Mr. Portman appears to have a sizable lead, up to 20 points in one poll. Why has this happened? Why haven't you caught on better with voters? And what do you need to do in the final weeks to change the dynamics of this race?
Thank you, Bill, for that friendly question. Congressman Portman is ahead in the polls for one reason, and one reason only. He's ahead in the money. So let's take a look about where he's getting his money. Congressman Portman has received more money than any Republican candidate in the country from Washington lobbyists. Washington has become a game that only the lobbyists can afford to play, and they desperately want Mr. Washington, as the Washington Post calls Rob, back on their team. Congressman Portman is the number one recipient of all candidates in the country, from those who run the insurance industry. They can't wait for him to repeal health care reform so the insurance companies are now back in charge of our health care decisions. And Congressman Portman is number two. Don't worry, he'll get there. He's number two in money from Wall Street banks. But because he will be one of those leading the fight to repeal Wall Street reform, I have no doubt he'll be number one. So we have to make a decision. Does this seat belong to you, or does it belong to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the foreign corporations who contribute to them, all of whom are spending thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars on behalf of Congressman Portman? Does it belong to Wall Street or the insurance industry? I don't think so. It belongs to you, and more importantly, it belongs to those men and women I see every single day who work hard, play by the rules, want to be treated fairly. That's why we'll win. It's because I believe, in the end, when people are mad, they also know who to be mad at. And they need to be mad at those people who have spent 20 years in Washington, had their chance, and did nothing.
Mr. Portman, you have 1 minute for response.
Thank you. Bill, look, I think the reason there's been a shift in the polls is because we're talking about jobs. And you've seen it already today. I'm going to be talking about how to turn Ohio around, how to bring people together to solve problems, how to deal with the health care legislation that Lieutenant Governor Fisher not only strongly supported but thought it didn't go far enough because he believed that it should have had a bigger government role, a public option. Talk to small business owners, as I did yesterday here in Cleveland, at a small business roundtable. They will tell you, as one told me, I feel like the rug's been pulled out from under me, he said. The premium we're being asked to pay this year is over 26%. And it's higher than last year because of the health care legislation. Did nothing to get costs down, only increased costs. Look, I'm very proud of the support that I've received all around the state. We have over 22,000 donors, many of whom have given $5, $25, $50. I don't think any campaign statewide has ever had that many donors, over 80% of whom, by the way, are Ohioans. I think they're supporting me as they are supporting me and putting up yard signs, wearing stickers, putting up signs in their yards because they believe in our cause.
Mr. Portman?
Which is to turn around Ohio.
Our next question comes from Steve Hoffman, and it goes to Mr. Portman for a 2-minute answer.
Mr. Portman, your campaign has focused rather relentlessly on job losses in Ohio during Mr. Fisher's tenure as development director. These occurred while the nation as a whole was shedding some 8 million jobs. What would you have done differently in Ohio had you been development director? And are you arguing that Ohio could have gained jobs in the current recession?
Well, Steve, you're exactly right. This campaign is about jobs, not just about the 400,000 jobs that have been lost in the last 4 years while our unemployment has nearly doubled, but about how we get jobs back. And if you look at our jobs plan, check it out, Steve. I know you've memorized it, but it's at robportman.com if you haven't looked at it. Look at our energy plan. Look at our health care plans. We have specific ideas to turn things around in Ohio. And, again, this is in contrast to what you're hearing from my opponent, what you've heard today, what you'll hear in this campaign, which is constant attacks. Again, I think he wants to distract us from the central issue. What would I have done differently? A lot of things, including visiting some of those 70 plants that I talked about earlier that I've visited during the last 20 months of this campaign. I mean, I've gone to places that have lost jobs and found out that Lieutenant Governor Fisher was never there. A big one would be DHL in Wilmington, Ohio. 8,000 jobs lost. And at least according to the workers I've talked to there, Lieutenant Governor Fisher never showed up as development director. So the first thing you do is show up. Second thing you do is you run a Department of Development that's actually effective. Governor Strickland said just last week, after a Toledo Blade series of articles about how we keep losing jobs to other states, specifically four companies have left during this campaign, the Toledo area, to go to Indiana. And the mayor of one of these towns, who's an independent voter, said, you know, our Ohio Department of Development was asleep at the switch. They were too slow, too inefficient. Guess what Governor Strickland said last week? He agrees. He thinks Ohio Department of Development has been too slow and too inefficient, has not been effective at competing with other states. Look, in the last 4 years, of the jobs that have left Ohio, 9 out of 10 have gone to other states. Think about that. So, you know, yeah, there's plenty that I would have done differently. But we are where we are. So what do we do now? To me, that's the more central question. Do we continue to put more burdens and taxes and costs on business? Or do we do what those small business owners told me yesterday in Cleveland? Give us a break. Have the government help us rather than hurt us to create jobs.
Mr. Fisher, you have 1 minute for response.
While Congressman Portman was in D.C. and lobbying and practicing law, here's what I was doing. We wrote Ohio's first ever economic development strategic plan, never been done before in Ohio. Despite the fact that there are too many people in this state for whom unemployment is not 10%, it's 100%. What they want are people who work day and night, 24/7, in the middle of an economic storm, knowing full well that the people working didn't cause the storm. The top economic development award in the nation is given by Site Selection magazine. It goes to the state that attracts the most new jobs and the most private capital investment of $1 million or more. No surprise, California has won it, Texas has won it, Alabama. It's harder for a manufacturing state to win it. 2007, the first year of our administration, we won it, number one. 2008, number in the second year of our administration.
Mr. Fisher?
In the middle of the recession, I'm almost done, Karen. We won it.
Time.
And guess what, Karen? The third year we won it too, 3 years in a row.
Thank you. Joe Froelich has the next question, and it goes to Mr. Fisher for a 2 minute response.
Mr. Fisher, like many Democrats, you accuse your opponent of supporting a tax break that encourages companies to ship or create jobs overseas. You even raised it in your opening remarks today. Do you support the recent effort by Senate Democrats to end this income deferral provision, even though many corporate leaders here in Ohio say it would actually lead to the loss of more American jobs?
Yes, I do. And let me tell you why. We need to use our tax code to incentivize the creation of jobs in America and in Ohio. Any company should have the right to do business anywhere around the world, and they do. But when you use the precious tax code of the United States of America, you use it as an incentive to create jobs here. We have today, Joe, a trade deficit of about $800 billion when George Bush left office. You know what that means? That means that for every $1 we export to other countries, they are selling us $8. Not a fair deal. It's why everywhere you go today, if you go shopping, it's going to say made in China. It's why there are hundreds of thousands of manufacturing jobs, 5 million since 2001, who have left America. Let's make it very clear. In its place, we should have a national job creation tax credit that says to a business, you want to create a job here, we're going to give you a tax credit, exactly what we've done here in Ohio, but there isn't anything on the national level. Our priorities are upside down and inside out. I want to see the words again, made in America, and I'm running against the person who was one of the chief architects as George Bush's trade advisor, who advocated for those tax breaks and negotiated the trade agreements that allowed countries like China to dump $8 of cheap, unsafe goods into America for every $1 we exported them. Now, let's make it very clear. Exporting goods is a good thing. We should export more, not less. But the bottom line is we should be selling more, buying less, consuming less, saving more, producing more. And you do that when you have fair and balanced trade as opposed to unfettered, unregulated trade. And that is, in many ways, the big difference between us on this important issue.
Mr. Portman, you have 1 minute for response.
Well, you've just seen a critical difference between us. Lieutenant Governor Lee Fisher wants to raise taxes on U.S. companies. And he wants to do it, as you say, even though Ohio business leaders say it's a bad idea. Let me tell you what he wants to do. He wants to have a great soundbite politically, which he's used again, as you said, in his opening and uses constantly in the campaign. It's all about partisanship. And he wants to have 17,000 Ohioans out of work, because that's how many Ohioans will lose their job if that tax increase is put in place. U.S. corporations are selling stuff all over the world, and we want them to do that. That creates jobs here. They have the highest tax rate in the world, by the way, except for one country, Japan, which is lowering theirs. And he wants to raise their taxes. So it may be a good soundbite. It may be good politics. It's terrible for Ohio workers. 17,000 jobs. It's companies like Eaton here, companies like Parker Hannifin. And you know what? More importantly, it's the hundreds of suppliers to those companies who are going to lose jobs right here in Northeast Ohio. Because of a good political soundbite, we can't do this. We can't continue to raise taxes and burdens on American jobs.
Next question. Bill Hershey asks the question to Mr. Portman with a two-minute answer.
Mr. Portman, your campaign has benefited from TV ads sponsored by American Crossroads, a group with ties to Karl Rove and a former Republican national chairman. Do you think such groups should be required to disclose the sources of their money?
First of all, there are independent expenditures in Ohio, both for Lieutenant Governor Lee Fisher and for myself. We can't be involved with them at all. He can't be involved. I saw a direct mail piece the other day critical of me that was put out by an independent group supporting him, and I'm not assuming that he was involved in it because his campaign can't be, just like our campaign can't be involved with any of these independent expenditures and shouldn't be. Instead, what I'm doing is talking about what my vision is to turn Ohio around and move Ohio forward, and that's what you see in my ads. We focus on jobs. We stick to the facts. We talk about a positive, proactive vision. We encourage people to go to the website and learn more about the Portman Plan for Jobs, our 10-point energy plan. That's the focus of our campaign and will continue to be. These other groups may come in and out. We can't stop them, but that's not going to be what the focus of our campaign will be about. It's going to stick to exactly what I've talked about today, which is how do we take this situation in Ohio, 400,000 jobs lost, continued job loss even last month, unemployment going up. We saw the numbers today. The national unemployment numbers show that we lost 94,000 jobs in America last month. Now, this is not turning around. We need something new. We need a fresh approach. The status quo is not working. We need to turn things around in Washington because Washington is putting out more and more job-killing legislation and exploding the deficit and debt, which is not helping to create opportunity here in Ohio. This is going to be the difference in this campaign. This will be played out in our ads. Lieutenant Governor Fisher has his own ads. His ads are on the attack. His ads talk about the issue Joe Frohlich raised, which is an issue that may be good politics, but it's terrible economics for Ohio. His ads misstate a number of things because he's interested, again, in the partisanship and playing politics with this race. We're going to keep focusing on how to get Ohio back on track, how to get people working together to turn things around.
Mr. Fisher, you have 1 minute to respond.
That answer was bought and paid for by American Crossroads and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. You need to understand what's going on here. These attacks that he's talking to me that I'm making here today at the City Club, Go home tonight. Watch those ads. Watch tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I might get in 5 or 6 good attacks today. Our count is he's put in about 7,500 so far. This is nonsense. This is not an auction. And it's certainly not a coronation. This is a race where we talk about those people who are mad as hell, who want us not to be cozy with the lobbyists and Wall Street, with the insurance industry and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and Karl Rove, because, let's put it this way, if you want to know who we're for, take a look at who's for us. You'll figure it out.
Today's debate is between the two leading candidates in the race for Ohio's open U.S. Senate seat and is presented by the City Club of Cleveland, WVIZ, PBS, and 90.3 WCPN, IdeaStream, and the Ohio Newspaper Organization, which is made up of 8 newspapers in Ohio, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Toledo Blade, the Columbus Dispatch, the Cincinnati Inquirer, the Dayton Daily News, the Canton Repository, the Akron Beacon Journal, and the Youngstown Vindicator. At this point, I'm going to read a question submitted by one of our audience members. Candidates, you will each have 1 minute and 30 seconds to respond. So here's the question. What are your core values as an individual, and how will these values enable you to help the state of Ohio become a better state, which will make the United States of America a safer and better place for education? And let's start now with Mr. Fisher.
Okay. Years ago, I was given a pin that had 4 dots on it. And those 4 dots represented the 4 corners of my life: faith, family, service, community. And every single one of us has difficulty every day trying to balance all 4. But with all due respect to all of you here today, those people in Wilmington that Congressman Portman says I've never been to, I've been there about 100 times. My guess is he's been there once in the campaign. I don't tour factories. I sit down with people. I help them get job training. I convinced DHL to donate that air park for free back to the people of Wilmington. Call the mayor of Wilmington. Ask him who stepped in to chair a task force and goes back to Wilmington on a regular basis. And now they call themselves the City of Hope because they refuse to be beat down. I think that when we balance these values in our lives of faith and family and service and community, that in many ways is the essence of public service. Doesn't mean you have to run for public office, but for those of us who do, we have a responsibility to never forget where we came from and never forget why we went someplace. And it's to support those people in Wilmington suffering tonight.
Mr. Portman, you have a minute and a half to respond.
According to the people I've talked to in Wilmington, and I was there recently again, and I've been there several times, not just during the campaign, but prior to that time, although I didn't represent the area, there were workers affected in my former constituency. And again, what I'm hearing is that you didn't go. You didn't go until the company made the decision to drop 8,000 people, the largest employer in that several county area. I understand you've never been to the Piketon plant, which is the largest employer in Southeast Ohio. You know, to answer the question earlier, I just think that there is a better way to approach economic development, and that's to be responsive to the employers and the job creators. I am proud of the folks who are standing with me, which includes the National Federation of Independent Businesses, which represents small businesses all over the state of Ohio. They've endorsed me because they like my proposals. They probably also like the fact that I grew up in a small family business, and a lot of the values that I take right now on the campaign trail and want to take to Washington, representing our great state, will be values that were honed in that small business family. Values like hard work and self-reliance. You know, values that I still see here in Ohio. I think we have the best workforce. I think we have the best manufacturing infrastructure. I think we have the best institutions of higher learning and research in the country. We can do it. We can turn things around. I'm also very proud of the fact that the Farm Bureau has endorsed me, representing the farm community, the agriculture community in Ohio. I don't think they've endorsed anybody else statewide. And they've endorsed me because they know that I stand up again for their values. I'm very proud of the fact that I've been endorsed by the Cleveland Plain Dealer, as I said, and the Columbus Dispatch, and the Cincinnati Inquirer, because they believe Ohio needs a change.
Mr. Portman. Let's go back to our panel of reporters, and our next question comes from Steve Hoffman, and it will go to Mr. Portman for a two-minute answer.
Mr. Portman, Ohio Republican Senator George Voinovich and former Senator Mike DeWine established over the years a tradition of independence and bipartisanship while in Washington. How would you assure Ohio voters that you would follow that mold? Can you point to a vote in Congress in which you broke with the party leadership or reached across the aisle to find compromise on an important bill?
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, I have a record in Congress of 12 years representing Southern Ohio. And that record is of constantly reaching across the aisle and focusing on solutions. I often joke in front of Republican crowds that probably people are a little nervous by the fact that 12 of my bills were signed into law by President Bill Clinton. But I can defend every one of them as good policy. Fiscal conservative measures to provide tax relief to people when they sell their home, 52 new taxpayer rights, anti-drug legislation focusing on prevention and education and treatment, legislation I worked on with Stephanie Tubbs Jones, late congresswoman from this area, on the Second Chance Act to help on prisoner reentry, one that frankly was not something that was popular among the Republican leadership at the time, Steve. But it's something I felt strongly about. I authored that legislation. After I left, it was signed into law. I think it's important, as I said at the very outset, particularly given the crisis we face, the job crisis here in Ohio, the fiscal crisis we face in this country, the economic crisis we're looking at, that we work together, both sides of the aisle, to focus on solutions that work. You know, I'm more conservative than Lieutenant Governor Lee Fisher, no question about it. I believe that a more conservative approach to job creation is what's made this country great and made our state a great state. The innovators, the inventors, the entrepreneurs, the job creators. And I believe those are the people we're letting down now. And ultimately, we're letting down the workers of Ohio. I recently met with an unemployed worker here in Cleveland. She wanted to meet me at an Arby's near where she lived, and I did, and we had a good talk. I wanted to meet with her, as I've done around our state, to talk about how unemployment insurance is working, how worker retraining is working for her. And she had a very interesting story to tell me. I then went out to the parking lot and got in our campaign RV, which we travel around the state in, been in all 88 counties in. And while I was in the RV making a phone call, there was a knock on the door. And a young woman came to the door. She said, I see you running for Senate, and I see you have something on your RV that says Jobs for Ohio. She said, I'm looking for a job. She's about 20, 25 years old, had a baby with her. She wanted a clerical job, couldn't find it. She was at Arby's trying to get a fast food job. Folks, that's what's happening in Ohio today. We need to be able to change things to provide opportunities for those women.
Time. Mr. Fisher, you have 1 minute to respond.
You know, I respect the fact that George Voinovich has endorsed Rob, as is expected because of the same party. But, Rob, I know George Voinovich. You're no George Voinovich. Let me just give you two examples. George Voinovich had the guts and the courage to stand up to his own Republican caucus when they said that they wanted to extend tax cuts to the millionaires and billionaires. And you know what George Voinovich said? How can one side of our mouth we talk about the national debt and deficit and then add to that deficit $700 billion to people who don't need that tax cuts? That's the George Voinovich that I admire. It was announced yesterday, Ohio is going to get $55 million to the small businesses that Congressman Portman says he cares about. George Voinovich stood up to his caucus and voted for the bill. Rob Portman announced he would have voted against it. He can talk about all he wants about crossing party lines. But he's been a rubber stamp so far.
Let's move on to Joe Froelich. He has the next question for Mr. Fisher for a two-minute answer.
Okay. Mr. Fisher, some members of the Senate are very aggressive about seeking earmarked appropriations for projects in their home states. There's a few members who have sworn off the bacon. If you are elected, will you request appropriations earmarked for Ohio projects? Why or why not? And if you do request them, what will be the criteria on which you will base those decisions?
First of all, I believe that whatever you do with regard to earmarks has to be transparent. If you're going to ask for something back for your state or a particular community, you post it on the internet, you be proud and don't hide it. For years, what people have done is they've slipped those into the middle of the night, and sometimes months later, sometimes years later, you find out. But will I support earmarks under certain circumstances? You bet I will. I'll tell you what I'll do. If it means to get a runway at Plumbrook, if it means that we're going to help the flats, if it means that we're going to create and build businesses, if it means we're going to have an opportunity corridor, if it means that we're going to be able to leverage private dollars and create short-term jobs and long-term jobs, you better believe I will. But I won't be doing it to create a pet project that maybe somebody wants because they helped me or somebody else. I'll do it because I'm running for the U.S. Senate to save jobs, create jobs, and attract jobs, and it's the rising tide that lifts all votes. I want to go to wind turbines from steel. I want to go to glass from solar panels. I want to go from those gas-guzzling cars to the hybrid vehicles and electric plug-in vehicles. I want to go from the tires in Akron to advanced materials to make things lighter and stronger. And one way to do that is to use the resources of the federal government to do things that actually not just create jobs Tuesday, but create industries on down the road. That's what I've learned day to day, not touring factories, but as somebody who's negotiated deal after deal after deal to keep companies here and to attract them here. And yes, I'll support those kinds of earmarks.
Mr. Portman, 1 minute for response.
Well, earmarks have gotten out of control. There's no question about it. And when I was OMB director for a year, as you know, I put all earmarks online. Now, this didn't make me very popular with my former colleagues, Republican or Democrat alike. But guess what? Sunlight is a really good disinfectant. And earmarks had increased about 4 times in the previous 10 years. Once they were all online, everybody could see what they were, where they were going, who had asked for them, the number of earmarks declined substantially. I think earmarks have to go through a merit-based competitive process. Look, we have the largest deficit in the history of our country. We're looking at, under this administration, doubling the debt in 5 years, tripling it in 10 years. We've got to put some fiscal restraints in place. If we don't do that, we're not going to have the same country for our kids and our grandkids. It's that serious. Earlier, the last question, Lieutenant Governor Fisher talked about raising taxes again. This is not the answer. He talked earlier about how he wants to raise taxes on companies that are doing business here in Ohio, that are creating jobs here in Ohio.
Mr. Portman?
That are doing work overseas. He talked a minute ago how he wants to raise taxes on small businesses in Ohio. It's not the right way to go.
Bill Hershey has the next question. It is to Mr. Portman for a 2-minute answer.
Mr. Portman, would you have supported the rescue of General Motors and Chrysler that was begun under President Bush and continued under President Obama? And if not, how would you have explained your opposition to the thousands of Ohioans who depend on those companies and their suppliers to earn a living?
Yeah, the auto industry is absolutely critical to Ohio, and I'm delighted to see the auto industry starting to come back. And yes, at the time I said I would have supported it. I would have liked to see more conditions, Bill, because unfortunately, as you all know, $50 billion of our taxpayer money went to a private entity that the government essentially took over. And then they closed 4 plants here in Ohio. So if I had been in office at the time, I would have supported it, but I would have been sure that Ohio didn't fall behind. And again, I'm glad you see some progress now at General Motors and at Chrysler. But I think a lot of Ohioans who lost their jobs after there was a decision not to let them go into bankruptcy, but instead to have the federal government step in with our tax dollars to support them, saw their jobs get lost here in the great state of Ohio. The ultimate answer, though, here is not more government bailouts. And Lieutenant Governor Fisher just talked about how he supports this program where money comes, what he said, for small businesses. It doesn't go to small businesses for loans. It's the government buying the stock of banks. It's a mini TARP program, and that's why I opposed it. Even the new head of the consumer agency for the Obama administration said she doesn't like it, doesn't think it's going to work, because guess what? The first bailout program for TARP, you remember that one that went to the banks? Didn't work because it didn't increase lending for small businesses. That ought to be the goal. That's why instead I supported having the SBA, which is the Small Business Administration, provide a bigger guarantee to banks for the banks to loan using the private sector model. That works a lot better. We shouldn't be shareholders of banks as taxpayers. The government cannot run a bank. The government cannot run companies as well as the private sector. So the ultimate solution here is to get back to, again, what's made our economy here in Ohio not just a leader, but a leader in the Industrial Revolution. We were the spearhead of the Industrial Revolution, a state that was looked to as a leader. We can be that state again. but it's going to require the government being a better partner with business and helping business, not providing more and more bailouts.
Mr. Fisher, 1 minute for response.
You would never know it from that answer that Congressman Portman supported the bailout of the Wall Street banks. And there is a big difference between a bailout of banks with no requirement to small businesses that they receive loans from those banks and a rescue. This was a rescue that was absolutely necessary. Unlike Congressman Portman, I've been to every auto plant in this state. I've traveled to Detroit 4 times a year with the governor to meet with the executives of Chrysler and Ford to make sure they make as many investments as possible. The governor and I were at Lordstown the other day. When we first came into office, one shift. Today, 3 shifts and a new product called the Chevy Cruze. And parts from that Chevy Cruze are being made in Ford, Brook Park, Defiance, Toledo. The bottom line is if we had not rescued those, it's not just the 70,000 men and women who've lost their jobs. It would have been the suppliers and literally hundreds of thousands of people. It was a smart thing to do. It was the right thing to do, and I was proud to support it.
Now we go to Steve Hoffman with a question for Mr. Fisher and a 2-minute answer.
Mr. Fisher, the Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland, among others, has concluded that the overwhelming reason for a loss of manufacturing jobs in Ohio is automation, not foreign trade or jobs moving to other states. Ohio's seen a steady loss of manufacturing jobs under both Republican and Democratic administrations. How do you think Ohio should cope with this long-term trend? And are we somehow to reject efficiencies in manufacturing to maintain employment?
Steve, as the director of the Department of Development and as the chair of the Ohio Third Frontier Commission, we focused on exactly that. We focused on innovation, advanced technology, bringing cutting-edge technology to manufacturing. There are too many people who want to turn their back on manufacturing. Manufacturing is the greatest strength we have in this state, but it has to be advanced technological. We have created and capitalized more than 500 early-stage companies, innovative companies, medical device companies, medical imaging companies, solar companies, wind companies, all because we're using a competitive model where for every one public dollar, we attract 9 private dollars. We may never be able to compete with China on their cost, but we will always beat China and everyone else in the world on our innovation, our entrepreneurship, our creativity. And that begins with a healthy pregnant mother and a nurtured child, a phenomenal school system that goes from literally the first year of life all the way to the end of life. The single thing that I think is the most important in economic development today is workforce development. A skilled workforce geared to the short-term and the long-term needs of a business. If those students have been well-educated and well-trained when they graduate from school, their innovation will keep jobs here in America and help them grow. And again, the good news is I don't have to tour the factories. I've negotiated the deals, I've chaired the commission, and I'm proud of the fact that I'd like to take that kind of experience on the ground, saving and creating jobs based upon innovation, and take it to Washington, D.C.
Mr. Portman, 1 minute for response.
Thank you. Maybe you ought to visit some more of those factories, because that's not what I'm hearing. And, you know, we've lost 100,000-plus manufacturing jobs during this time period, too. So what these companies are saying is very simple. We need to get our costs down. Yes, we can compete, and we can win in the global marketplace, but not if our government continues to burden us, state government and federal government. And that's what's happening. I had a guy tell me yesterday who is with Philpott Rubber and Plastics here, Northeast Ohio. And this is a employee-owned company, and they're trying to compete in the global marketplace. And again, he said, just don't pull the rug out from under us. Why does the government continue to send us higher and higher costs? Their health care costs are skyrocketing. They're looking at taxes being raised at year end. Lieutenant Governor talked about the medical device companies a second ago. He supported in the health care bill raising taxes on Ohio's medical device companies. Talk to these companies. You ought to go visit them, because what they tell me is they're getting ready to lay off workers because they can't afford higher taxes
Mr.
and
Portman,
be able to compete in the global marketplace and stay
time.
Here in Ohio.
Earlier today, audience members were again invited to write down a question they would like me to ask. I've chosen another one. I neglected to thank Jonathan from Cleveland for the last question, so I will thank Brian from Shaker Heights for this one. The Brookings Institution yesterday released a report stating that through the recession, poverty has been growing faster in the suburbs of metropolitan areas than in central cities. In your view, what role should the federal government play in assisting families, children, and individuals in poverty, and what can be done to reduce the growing number of people finding themselves in this situation? And you again have a minute and 30 seconds to respond. We begin with Mr. Portman.
Great. Thank you, Karen. Well, poverty has increased in Ohio, as has homelessness. We have increasing problems of trying to provide that safety net. Food stamps has increased dramatically here in Ohio, and the safety net is necessary, but the much better answer is to find jobs and opportunities. When you have over 10% unemployment, when the prospects for future employment look bad, and there was another report out today, this was a PNC study, they looked at businesses all over Ohio, and those businesses said that the outlook for Ohio is worse than the outlook for other states around the country. So the ultimate answer is to provide opportunities and jobs for these people. I talked about the young woman who I met at the Arby's who was looking for a fast food job because she couldn't find a clerical job. When she came to the RV, I told her what I was doing, why I was running. She wanted to see the jobs plan. We gave her that. I gave her some ideas of some places to call locally, but she'd already called all those places. And I asked her, I said, what are you going to do? She said, well, my husband and I are trying to figure that out. And you know what we're thinking about doing? Leaving Ohio. And you find this all over our state. Of the young people who come here to Ohio, as I said earlier, to the best colleges and universities in the country, 79% of them are leaving Ohio to go to another state after they graduate. Over 50% of Ohio kids who go to Ohio colleges and universities are now leaving Ohio. This is the best and brightest. This is our future. These are the people who we need to grow this economy, the innovators, the entrepreneurs, to assure that we don't have those high levels of poverty and homelessness.
Mr. Fisher, you have a minute and a half.
Well, you know, there are a lot of differences between Congressman Portman and me, Ohio and Washington, Main Street, Wall Street, export goods, export jobs. But after listening to him today, I want to add another one, optimist, pessimist. If you want to send a pessimist to D.C., he's proved he's your man. I can tell you right now that people are hurting, but they don't want to hear the whining and the complaining. I'll tell you what they want to hear. They want to hear that you're on the ground working every single day. You know, during the 7 years that Congressman Portman was a lobbyist for foreign countries and a congressman and George Bush's trade advisor and budget director, I'll tell you what I was doing. I was right here in Cleveland, in my backyard, running a place called the Center for Families and Children, helping struggling families get back on their feet, helping a father understand that having a child doesn't make you a man, taking care of a child makes you a man, helping young men and women who come from tough neighborhoods and even more violent homes get a sense of self-respect and dignity. Let's talk about that. You know, I don't want to aspire to be a safety net nation. I want to aspire to be an economic ladder nation. So once we have them in the safety net, our work begins, it doesn't end. And that's what we did at the Center for Families and Children. I would suggest that Congressman Portman, after 20 years, has lost touch with how it's done. It's talking to people face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, and understanding who they are, why they're hurting, and how to help them. And that's what I've done.
Joe Froelich, your question now to Mr. Fisher for a two-minute answer.
I'm going to build a little bit on what you just said. You've made a lot, Mr. Fisher, in this campaign of Mr. Portman's experiences in Washington. They call him the Washington Insider. But you've had a very long career yourself in Ohio politics. You were in the legislature. You were in the attorney general. You were the attorney general. You ran for governor. You've been the lieutenant governor. Aren't you as much of a political insider as he is, and perhaps in a different party? And on a broader scale, what's wrong with being a political insider and knowing how government operates?
Well, let's start with the second question first. If there is one anger I see all around Ohio, it's not against Republicans or Democrats. It's against Washington that has these ridiculous rules like the filibuster that says that one senator can stop unemployment compensation for millions of Americans, automatic pay raises, secret holds on legislation. He had the chance to change those rules. He's a part of those rules. He was there for 20 years. He had his chance. It's no accident or coincidence that he's getting more money than any candidate in the country from Washington lobbyists. The bottom line is it's not so much whether you serve, it's who you serve. Now, if I really thought he was serving that woman at Arby, I might have a different view. I think he's serving the lobbyists, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Wall Street, the insurance industry, which is why he's able to put his ads on tonight and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. So service is great. But I also think it makes some sense to spend a little time out of it, too. Yes, I served for 10 years in the legislature and wrote Ohio's missing children law, Ohio's hate crime law. I served as attorney general and closed drug houses around the state, but I also was out of public office for 12 years, more than a decade. And for most of those years, running a place that changed people's lives. I'm proud of my service, but I'm proud especially that I've served in the nonprofit sector, the private sector, the public sector, the executive branch, the legislative branch, that I've represented small businesses as a lawyer. I think you want people to go to D.C. who are not career politicians, who haven't been in the same place for a long time, and often forget why they went there and who they are.
Mr. Portman, 1 minute for response.
Well, Joe, you're right. Lieutenant Governor Fisher has a long career in public service. In fact, he first ran for office back when I was getting out of college, and disco was still cool. I mean, it was 1980.
It is still cool.
Among some. So, you know, he's been a state representative, he's been a state senator, he's been an attorney general, he's run for about every office in Ohio. He's run 5 times for office statewide in the state of Ohio. I've never done that. So for him to stand here today and say, you know, Portman's political and I'm not, I mean, again, it goes to what I talked about right at the beginning. Let's cut through all this. He doesn't want to talk about his record. And, you know, I can see why. Because it's a record of failure. For Ohio's workers. I mean, 400,000 jobs lost, not being there when Ohio's workers needed him. And he doesn't want to talk about the policies he's supporting because they're not working for Ohio. I haven't heard him talk about the stimulus bill. I haven't heard him talk about the health care bill,
Portman.
All these things that he supports that are taking us back, not forwards. Those should be the issues we're discussing today.
And a reminder, the applause and the noise takes away time from your candidate, so please save your applause. We're almost done. Mr. Bill Hershey has a question for Mr. Portman with a 2-minute answer.
Mr. Portman, at the Toledo debate, you said you do not support privatizing Social Security. However, you have made comments in the past that supported President George W. Bush's proposal to allow Americans to put part of their Social Security contributions into private accounts. Have you changed your position?
Well, as I said in Toledo, we need to strengthen and preserve Social Security. And unfortunately, in this campaign, it's been all about politics. Every day, Lieutenant Governor Fisher makes another attack on Social Security. And as I said in Toledo, even though it's getting close to Halloween, it's time to stop scaring seniors. Nobody believes the Social Security system is sustainable in its current form. In fact, the politicians in Washington have taken it to the brink of bankruptcy. And yet, Lieutenant Governor Fisher's approach to this is the same as the politics in Washington, which has led to paralysis and has led to a situation right now where if we don't do something, Social Security won't be there for our kids and our grandkids. Seniors understand that, by the way. And I do not support touching any benefit that any senior has received. Let me just make that clear. So what Lieutenant Governor Fisher has been saying around the state is just flat wrong. Nobody who's retired or near retired should have their benefits touched. But we do need to figure out a way on a bipartisan basis to improve, strengthen, and preserve the Social Security system. Again, this goes to what I talked about at the beginning of this debate. You know, on the one hand, you're going to hear a lot of politics and a lot of partisanship and some clever lines and probably a few sound bites that his political consultants have given him on Social Security. On the other hand, you're going to hear someone saying, we need to fix this problem because if we don't, we're going to be letting people down. Not the seniors who are going to get the benefits promised, but their kids and their grandkids, and seniors care about it. I talked about the meeting in Cincinnati where Lieutenant Governor Fisher went to tell seniors, it was a small group, but you know, that Rob Portman was going to take away their Social Security. And at the end of the meeting, one of the seniors stood up and said, well, you know what, how are we going to solve this problem? Because she was concerned about it. And she asked, what is your solution to the Social Security problem. Lieutenant Governor Fisher's response, elect me. That's not a response. That's a political response.
Mr. Portman,
need to be sure we are strengthening and improving this system for the future.
Mr. Fisher, 1 minute for response.
Well, let's talk about the political consultants. I think I know what happened here. When George Bush announced that he wanted to privatize Social Security, he went to his best friend in the U.S. Congress and said, Rob, I need to get you on those CNN shows, those Fox shows. You need to defend that. So we have television clips where Rob Portman is saying it's safe and guaranteed to put your money in the stock market. But I think his political consultants in the last few days said, you know, that might not be as popular as it was when you said that. So you didn't hear an answer today, because the truth is he has obviously taken both sides of this issue. And I want to talk a little bit about Halloween. Halloween means you put on a costume. Well, if I look at Congressman Portman's ads, I think he's a Democrat. He's got a nice pair of jeans. He's touring those factories. You go on his website, you never see the words Bush, Cheney. You never see the fact that he was the trade advisor or exported the jobs overseas.
Mr. Fisher.
That's the costume he's wearing in this campaign.
It's now time, as fun as this has been, for closing remarks. The order of closing remarks was determined by a coin toss earlier today. Each candidate has 2 minutes, and we begin with Mr. Portman.
Great. Thank you, Karen, very much. And given the discussion today, I'm going to change what I was going to say in my closing. I'm going to tell a story instead. And I think this story illustrates pretty well the differences you've seen today. It's a different in approach, different in vision. It's about a company called Worcester Motors. And Worcester Motorways is in Northeast Ohio. It's a small company. They tell me they went to a business conference with a lot of other small business owners where Lieutenant Governor Fisher was present. And they stood up and said, we're having a real problem with state government. Can you help us? Lieutenant Governor Fisher said in front of all the companies, yeah, I promise I'll come to your business, talk to you about it, and help you. He didn't show. They followed up. He didn't come. They tell me he did send an email. It was a fundraising email asking for a political contribution. You can imagine their response. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for some help on this issue. They asked him to come again. He promised. He didn't show. Now, they asked me to come, and I went last week at their invitation. I did visit the plant and did visit with the workers, and I did learn about what they're concerned about. They also put together a small business group there of about 10 or 12 business owners from the area who all came together to talk to me about the issues they care about. And it's what I've heard all over this great state. Not only that, again, as director of development, he was a no-show, but that the policies he's supporting are not helping small business. Folks, you can't continue to raise taxes, which he wants to do at year end, and they're worried about it. You can't continue to raise the cost of doing business and expect the job creators, the small business owners who are struggling, to be able to make ends meet and create jobs and opportunities. They said, look, we're going to pay more overtime because we can't afford the 20% increase in premiums and bringing more people on right now. These are the real problems out there in Ohio. These are problems that need to be addressed. This is why I'm running for the United States Senate. I did come from a small business family. I do understand these issues, and I do think that we can turn things around. We're a great state. We can do it, but it's going to take new leadership, and it's going to take the right policies.
Mr. Portman,
I ask for your vote tonight, and I hope to see you on the campaign trail. Thank you.
And now, Mr. Fisher. Please hold your applause. Mr. Fisher, you have 2 minutes for closing remarks.
This is serious stuff. And the kind of attack ads you've seen by Congressman Portman and the Chamber of Commerce, not only false, they're offensive and they're insulting, they insult your intelligence. This is not a state recession. This is a national recession that has hit every governor and lieutenant governor, Republican and Democrat, in this entire country. 8 million jobs have been lost. I could name to you many states with higher unemployment rates with Republican governors, but I'm guessing he won't blame them. Let me tell you what you need to do. If you're in a crisis, and many of you are in your own lives and your businesses, what do? You can go down in the basement and pray for a better day, or you can go in the front yard and you keep working and planting and plowing.
Congressman Portman, you go to Goodyear, and you talk about the fact that they had 2 feet out the door and we convinced them to stay. You go to Bridgestone Firestone that had both feet out the door to Nashville. We convinced them to stay and expand. You go to Norwalk Furniture. The bank was closing them down. If you close down Norwalk Furniture, you might as well close down Norwalk, Ohio. We saved the company. When you're in the middle of an economic storm, you save jobs one job at a time, one business at a time. It's no accident that we have received the top recognition in the country. Not once, not twice, not three times. It's no accident that Ohio's the sixth fastest growing economy in the country today. And it's no accident there are still too many people hurting. Why? Because of a national recession caused in part by the policies of George W. Bush and Congressman Portman, who deregulated Wall Street, gave tax breaks to companies to ship jobs overseas, negotiated unfair trade agreements to allow cheap products made in China to come to America. If you want to see the jobs I've saved and created during this storm that he helped create, go anywhere in Ohio. And if you want to see the jobs that he helped create, go to Beijing, Shanghai, Hong Kong.
Mr. Fisher, I'd like to thank the candidates for participating in this debate. And I'd also like to thank our panel of newspaper reporters for their participation, Bill Hershey from the Dayton Daily News, Steve Hoffman from the Akron Beacon Journal, and Joe Froelich from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. This has been a debate between the two leading candidates in the race for Ohio's open U.S. Senate seat. This debate was presented by the City Club of Cleveland, the Ohio Newspaper Organization, and WVIZ-PBS and 90.3 WCPN IdeaStream. By the way, these candidates are scheduled to debate once more before Election Day, October 12th in Columbus. Check your local listings if you'd like to watch or listen to this debate, and thank you to the audience for your very thoughtful questions. I'm Karen Kassler, reminding you to cast your ballot on or before November 2nd.